Rookie mistake.
It's good, I mean. Good morning.
Good morning.
This will call the Internal Affairs meeting of January 21st, 2015, on Thursday. Welcome, everybody. It looks like we have a few items on here, but we also have several other matters. So we'll kick this off with the report on the activities for FECA. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Greg Poston with Commission staff. I would like to take this opportunity this morning to first introduce Robert Mongolis. Robert has been with the Commission for around 18 months. And this morning he will present...
Again.
He has the pleasure of presenting for your consideration this year's draft FECA report.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners.
And welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. The item before you is a draft report on activities pursuant to the Florida Energy Efficiency and Conservation Act. Section 366.8210 requires the Commission to submit this report annually to the Governor and the Legislature by March 1st. This report summarizes each utility's achievements toward meeting goals that this Commission sets. Additional highlights include updates on federal appliance standards, a summary of the FECA utilities expenditures recovered through the Energy Conservation Cost Recovery Clause, and a summary of the recent goal-setting activities. Staff requests approval of changes to the report. Changes generally relate to a correction in adding TECO's DSM programs. Staff can go through the changes individually if that is the Commission's preference.
Yes, please go through the changes.
Staff would like to make oral modifications starting on page 2. On page 2, staff requests to change the number of conservation programs that the FECA utilities offer from 105 to 117 due to identification of additional DSM programs. Similarly, on page 6, staff also requests to change the number of DSM programs from 105 to 117. Mm-hmm. Now on page 12, paragraph 2, staff requests to add the lead-in phrase as examples of commercial programs and costs, and to add the word approximately for reader clarity. On the next paragraph on page 3...
If you could just highlight the substantive changes.
On page 3, right below that, from 92,000 to 93,000 for rounding. Mm-hmm. And on page 33, next... staff requests to change the reference year to 2014, which is the year for which we have the most current reported data. Finally, on page 44, staff requests, 44 through 47, staff requests to change the names of programs and to add programs that were identified, TECO, the remainder of TECO's DSM programs that were identified.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that presentation. And this is a great report. It has a lot of very good information that we need and we can utilize. And the legislature and the governor and the commissioner on agriculture will benefit from, too. So I appreciate you compiling it. It's an ongoing report. And I know my fellow colleagues probably have some questions on it. So I do have some, but I'll open it up the floor to the other commissioners for questions at this time. Commissioner Graham.
My first question is, and I probably bring this up all the time, is why do we still do the two munis, both Jacksonville and Orlando? Because I noticed looking through the history of this thing back in 1980 when it all got started, did we do actually everybody in the entire state, everybody that generated, and then from there it went down to 12?
Statute was changed. At one point, we had jurisdiction over all of the munis and co-ops for DSM purposes, but now it's just JEA and I think it's OUC.
Yeah. Now, when you said we had control over them.
Well, not control. I mean, jurisdiction to set goals for more munis and co-ops than we do now.
But what we do now, I mean, we set the goals for the munis for JEA and for Orlando, but with the IOUs, we have both the club and the carrot to incentivize them or to discipline them, and we don't have that for the munis. So basically, what control do we have other than...
The only, this is Tom Ballinger, the staff, the other stick we would have is when they need determination. JEA or Orlando would file a need determination. We'd look at, are they meeting their goals to improve the conservation as one of the plan.
Yeah, but if they're not meeting their goals, that's still not reasonable standard for us to turn down a need determination.
It could be. It could be that they haven't done enough conservation to mitigate the need for that plan. Mm.
That's got to be pretty significant.
I agree.
It's probably very unlikely, but
yes.
Because you know, I can tell you, and I wish my, I guess the swiftness of my office, I have my notes in my first version, but since everything changed, I have now the new version without my notes in. But anyway, as I was going through this thing, you know, as I'm going through, it's jumping back and forth from all seven, you know, the five IOUs and the two munis to just five of them. And it's just, it's really no, I mean, it's almost like there's a pronoun problem. When you say they, it's just, which they are you talking about? And sometimes it starts to get kind of confusing. I mean, some of the charts actually has everything listed in there. And some of them, you're trying to figure it out. And it's just, that's the only thing that I think is a little confusing between this. If it, you know, if we can say, you know, every time we talk to about a chart, every time we, you know, open a new section, we're talking specifically about just the IOUs, or we're talking about the IOUs and the two munis.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point.
And then if we can get rid of the munis. I guess I still just don't see the purpose of it all, because, you know, I understand the progression of it all, where it went from everybody, you know, in 1980 to, I want to say it was in 89, we went to 12, and then in 96, I think we went down to 7 of them. And, you know, let's just, you know, in 2016 or 17, let's go to just the 5 IOUs.
That would require a statute change.
Yes. Thank you for that point.
maybe 2017.
And it does read, the report does read, it highlights the IOUs and it doesn't reference the other two munis, so it is a little confusing in that regard, since the two IOUs are statutorily required to report. So maybe just say the IOUs and the and JEA and OUC, okay. Maybe because it's a little confusing.
I mean, because, you know, you have, like, you know, when you start talking about the cost stuff, because we don't have that for the... And we only have it for the IOUs.
Perfect.
Sorry.
Other commissioners, comments, questions, feedback? I do have some questions, so I'll just jump right into them. You referenced in various sections about the sunsetting of the five-year solar pilot program, and it's sunsetted in December 31st, 2015. Part of those solar programs, so part of the programs contained a research component. We were supposed to at least have some input or get some input or information about those, in my recollection, about the research component of the solar pilot program. Do we have any information at this time, since they concluded at the end of last year, about the solar pilot programs, with the focus on the research components on some of these programs?
Staff would like to get back to you on that.
Okay. I think that's an integral part of the whole five-year process, and I know I'm interested in hearing some of that information and encourage the utilities to provide that information timely. So,
if I may, they do file March 1st their FECA filings, and mm-hmm. We certainly will look at that through that process.
Thank you.
It would be the most updated information through the end of last year.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you. Of course, not in this report, but as long as we're informed. On page 6, you talk about the federal. Thank you. The updated. Increase in federal energy efficiency laws. There's about 14 that have been finalized and things like that. And then you reference some of the state building codes Are we seeing an uptick and an increase in standards in the building codes since the last year of reporting?
Definitely. The Department of Energy's Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy has been quite active. As I've said here, 5 appliance standards, 8 test procedures, so they've definitely been very active.
I'm talking about the Florida building code, pardon me, our state code.
With the Florida building code, staff would like to get back to you on that. Generally, the U.S. federal standards have superseded the Florida standards for most appliances.
All right. Focus on building.
We'll definitely look at the building code. Those are updated and are reviewed by the oversight board for the building code in Florida, and we will look at and get back to you on specifically how they have made improvements this particular year.
Great. Thank you. And I think that's very relevant to our overall FECA review process. It's an important fact in our consideration. So it's something that we definitely need to be aware of, and the report needs to reflect, as it does with the federal laws and regulations. So on page 19, you have a summary of the recent BSM and goal setting procedures and activities that have gone on. And one of the things that we did at the last goal setting proceeding was we directed the IOUs to educate low-income customers on education conservation opportunities. And it was something that was reflected in our order. Do we have information about how the IOUs are educating customers right now on conservation opportunities?
I would say those programs are listed in the back, low-income programs. When they file by March 1st, they say what they've done and their updates for the low-income customers. So I would look to their filings on March 1st. From this past year, staff would have to get back to you with the full details of everything they've
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I know the programs are listed as an appendix, but I think it's important to highlight them in the summary because it was a directive of the commission's order to have that information, and I think that's something that should be highlighted in the overall FECA report.
Okay. Staff can highlight the low-income programs and the changes in utilities.
Thank you so much. And finally, I know we're doing a lot under Section 4 on educating customers on conservation, and our PIO office is very engaged and have come up with a lot of different programs and opportunities to educate customers, and that's important for the overall intent and purpose of FECA, and I think it's great. And I know that they're going to be working on enhancing that a little bit further over the next year or two, and I'm very open and engaged on that aspect. But there are things that commissioners are doing in that regard to educate customers. And so it may be beneficial to put an additional paragraph of other activities that commissioners are doing, whether it's through education at schools or whether it's through conferences or public speaking engagements. There's a lot of commissioner activity going on this front. And I think it's important to highlight that in the report.
Sure. Sure, staff would be happy to do that.
All right, commissioners, any other questions, comments on? Okay, I will entertain a motion to approve with these suggested modifications at this time.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Khalil.
A question for clarification. These are to be filed March 1st. Would you like us to bring it back so that you can take a final look at the modification?
No. I think they've got enough information to go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, thank you for coming. Legislative update. I know you're busy. And you've been providing us a lot of emails and information about activities, and you all seem very active. Do you have a handout or anything for us?
Yes, commissioners. I've placed our current version of our executive bill report. It's got the green header. And if you'd like, I'd like to kind of update you on some activities since the last internal affairs meeting as to some of these critical bills that we're following. Senate Bill 534 was heard in the Communications, Energy, and Public Utilities Committee on January 12th. The bill was amended and reported favorably. And just to highlight one particular amendment that was of note is it removed the cap of 50% on the amount of reasonable rate case expense that can be recovered by a utility, and it replaced that provision with criteria, about eight criteria that the commission is to consider in determining the reasonable level of rate case expense. Those criteria, the provision requires the commission to make a finding of fact on each criteria, and that the findings be based upon competent substantial evidence. And then there's also language added that allows the commission to allocate accordingly the benefits of the rate case expense between customers, shareholders, owners, or affiliates. So that's a provision of note in that bill. The bill is now in the Appropriations Committee. That committee, however, is not meeting this week, so we're going to continue to monitor activity on Senator Hayes' water bill. House Bill 491, the companion water and wastewater bill, and sponsored by Representative Smith, is on the agenda for today's Finance and Tax Committee meeting at 3 o'clock. Two amendments were filed late yesterday afternoon. One of them would remove the sales tax exemption provision. The second amendment would remove the rate case expense pancaking provision that precludes recovery of the four-year amortized rate case expense for more than one rate case at any given time. So those are two amendments that will be taken up this afternoon. And I checked this morning. I didn't see any other amendments filed as of this morning. Moving on, the Senate Bill 1478, the Utility Advanced Cost Recovery Bill, was withdrawn from further consideration. The House companions are still active. House Bill 579, the Municipal Power Regulation Bill by Representative Mayfield, was heard in the Energy and Utility Subcommittee on January 11th. The subcommittee amended the bill and reported it favorably. The amendment essentially removed provisions that required the Office of Public Counsel to participate in Florida Municipal Power Agency rate setting proceedings, and also removed provisions that defined FMPA as a public utility in Chapter 366. The bill retains the requirement that a financial statement be provided annually to the commission and to member utilities. The bill is now in the Government Operations Appropriations Subcommittee, and we do not have any indication as to when or if that bill will be taken up. Finally, a bill we're following is House Bill 639 on carbon dioxide emissions from existing power plants. That's sponsored by Representatives Diaz and Rodriguez. That came up also in the Energy and Utility. We're going to be moving that into the bill report. Something. So we're still. This is going to be updated. Yes, ma'am. This is going to be. That document is about 5 or 6 days old. We will be updating that and circulating a revised version for you. This afternoon is our goal. But that's a bill that got some attention, particularly in the House Energy and Utility Subcommittee meeting last week. It prohibits any state agency from implementing rules or regulations or submitting a state or multi-state implementation plan to EPA regarding carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. The amendment added that provided that DEP could submit to EPA a status report or a request for an extension for submission to the state's plan. So that provision was approved. It's now in the Agriculture and Natural Resources Subcommittee. It is 8:38.
Commissioners, any questions on the report or any other matters?
Okay.
Yes, Commissioner Graham.
Back to Senate Bill 534. You said that you said that this bill would require for them to define where the benefits go or define benefits. Explain that again.
Right. The language is that the commission may allocate benefits between the customers and the shareholders, owners, or affiliates accordingly regarding rate case expense. And as part of the findings on those criteria, part of the finding is to determine the extent to which the criterion benefits the customer.
just the customer?
Yes, sir.
Or is it breaking it down, well, how much goes to the customer, how much goes to the owner, how much goes to...
I think that's the next step, is to identify the benefits, the extent to which those criteria benefit the customers, the rate case expense for those provisions, and then allocate those benefits out. So the language is... I've had the same reaction, Commissioner, as far as understanding exactly how that gets implemented. So we're working to try to understand that language better.
Okay. So my confusion is I'm not the only one.
No, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the report? Thanks, Mark. I know you guys have been very engaged with this session and appreciate it. All right. On to General Counsel's report. Mr. Baez. I'm sorry, Marianne Helton. I just jumped over and spoke. And that's why they met. Mr. Baez is the general counsel. Just joking.
I left my brushes and my hat.
Marianne.
Now you get me instead. Today, anyway. I just wanted to mention that starting last summer, we had a series of three workshops with practitioners before the commission, both utilities and interveners, when we talked about commission processes. We had our last one yesterday. I think we had some really good, healthy discussion about the process that we use here. I think we have maybe some hopefully better understanding on the part of everyone, staff included, with respect to where people come from when they come here for our proceedings. We've talked about some changes that the parties have asked for, some staff agrees with, and some tweaks that staff agrees with, some that staff does not agree with. And I think having had the discussion and having had a healthy discussion, everybody understands better where we're coming from. We are in the process of making some changes to our order establishing procedure and our pre-hearing order, which we will be distributing to you so that you can see the outcome of the discussions and provide your input at that time.
Thanks, Marianne. Do any of these changes need commission approval?
Well, in the sense that you all have the ability to sign, or you all are the ones that sign the orders establishing procedure and the pre-hearing order, yes. They don't, and none of them require commission rule changes. Many of our procedural rules that may have addressed some of these subjects we repealed or follow the uniform rules now back in the mid-90s when we had to repeal our rules and start following the uniform rules. So it's more tweaks and process that are reflected in the procedural orders which you sign.
Which can be modified by any pre-hearing officer or commissioner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Egger.
Thank you. Just so I'm clear, are you telling us that for basically this kind of standard language that is proposed in a draft OEP or pre-hearing order by staff, that that's going to be tweaked somewhat per the discussion?
Yeah, some of, like, for instance, we've been following a procedure now for confidential information, what we expect parties to bring to the hearing room and what staff will provide. And while we had it in our mind what we were doing, I don't think that was fully vetted in the order. So we've already made that change. We had a request.
Again, I'm sorry, but when you say made that change, again,
that's already been reflected.
Would be kind of standard draft language.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
One of the other changes that we have already is reflected is there was a request to no longer require objections to discovery to be filed within, I think, 10 days of issuing discovery. I think that just creates more bureaucracy than doesn't really provide anything. So we've had a request to remove that, and we've actually already stricken that. We met yesterday to talk about expert witnesses and have had a request to change the order with respect to how we deal with expert witnesses in commission proceedings. I'm not sure yet what we're going to recommend to you. The lawyers are actually going to meet about that on Monday to talk about the discussion. So,
thank you.
Those are some of the suggestions. One other thing that I can think of right now off the top of my head the composite exhibit list. We've had a request that staff start identifying the issues associated with each exhibit that staff would like to have stipulated. So that's a change that you will be seeing. So those are the types of things that we've discussed.
Thank you. Commissioner Graham.
So you said that this is what you're like your third or fourth meeting you had. Is this kind of where the whole YDR process came out of?
Well, YDR is always, I mean, that is something that is a right under Florida law, and I guess probably law all over the country. I'm not sure that I would say it's something that it, where it came out of, but.
I mean, it's something we never did before.
You may not have seen it, but YDR is not a new experience for the commission.
But I know when we, last hearing we went through that, it was kind of convoluted. Have you guys worked on ironing that out?
We are working on that. That was part of the discussion from yesterday.
Thank you.
Commissioners? Okay. Any other updates, Mary Ann?
No.
Thank you so much. Braulio.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For my report, we've got executive management has been making some changes on the IT front, and I wanted to turn it over to April Lynn to walk you through some of the changes to our systems and what we've been able to accomplish.
Thank you, and I appreciate you guys bringing this to everybody's attention and highlighting it at this meeting.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Like Braulio said, we'll talk a little bit about IT. About 2 weeks ago, we updated our platform for our website, so it moved to a different platform, a newer platform. The new website was implemented to address hardware and software obsolescence concerns, system reliability, and functionality for the future. The PSC's website is hosted by the Shared Resource Center and managed by the Agency of State Technology, so it's not managed here. The old website was running on outdated software and becoming unreliable and was no longer under warranty. The old website, about 10 years old actually, would have lost technical support in April of 2016, so we had to do, you know, make these changes now. Prior to implementation, IT developed a user group, a test group to kind of test the changes before going live. Even with those testing efforts, we did realize that there may have been some glitches or concerns following the cutover. So first, we want to thank you for your patience, everyone's for your patience and appreciation in the comments that you've given us thus far as we've made those changes. If you continue to notice anything, please let us know. We've updated our website with a form so that you can inform us. If you don't know what I'm talking about at all, that's great. That means that we have done a great job, so we appreciate that too. But really, if you notice anything, use that form, let us know, and we'll, you know, immediately address those. We haven't heard any concerns this week, so I think we've kind of knocked out a lot of concerns. But if you notice anything, no matter how small, please let us know.
No concerns this week.
Thank you, you guys. If you pull up the website on your iPhone, it completely cuts off Ron. it stops at a certain point, so the homepage is, and they're working on those to shift it and make it more central. But the fonts are smaller. It's more. It just needs a little cleaning up. So. Sorry about that.
Just to be clear, Commissioner Brise's office was not the one that
it was not. I noticed it, you know. I said, where's Ron? So thank you, Commissioner Brise, and thank you, everybody, for being patient. And they're working on kind of updating it. It's going to be better. There's going to be more enhancements, and it's going to be very accessible to consumers, to the parties, and folks. So they're really getting modernized. Thank you, April.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Sure. Commissioner Brzezinski.
Thank you. So is the new updated website going to be linked with, say, our Twitter feed? And is it going to be mobile friendly? I know that we had discussions in the past about making it much more mobile friendly. Is it going to allow for people to track, like if I'm a Miami resident or Orlando resident or whatever, and I want to track certain activities and get not pop-ups, but updates that are following actions here at the commission. Are those things that are included in our package with respect to our website and so forth?
I'm going to, if I, Lee is in here, so if I start going too far, Lee's going to jump up and scream at me. But absolutely, there are going to be, we're going to be have more capability to do those things. So we'll evaluate those as time progresses, but with this functionality, we can do more than we were doing before. And some of the mobile devices, as in times of old, were not as current either. So a lot of our website features now will work on mobile devices better than they did before.
Thank you.
Did that sound good, Lee? Okay.
And just to give you reassurances, this obviously is an evolving process, and we're always looking for ways to make you know, not just the site, but our process more mobile friendly, et cetera. And I know, Commissioner Frise, that you've been mentioning and bringing these things up for some time. And while the timing may not have been right, it continues to get better for things like the suggestions that you've made. So we're always on the lookout for those opportunities.
Thank you. And commissioners, anybody that has additional suggestions, please direct them to April or Lee Kissel. And their doors open for this, making it a better experience. Mr. Bias, any more updates?
That's it on the updates.
Okay. Moving on to other matters. We actually have a few other matters before us. Starting, I mentioned during the last commission agenda conference at the beginning of the year that I was going to be appointing one of us as a liaison to the Department of Environmental Protection with regard for communication with regard to economic and reliability issues associated with the Clean Power Plan. We are so fortunate that we have a commissioner among us that has really worked really hard on these issues on the national stage for about 2 years or more, and she's agreed to serve in that capacity. And we've got who is it? we are fortunate to have Commissioner Edgar, who came from DEP and served as NARUC president and has a wealth of information and resources to serve, and she's agreed to serve as that liaison. And I appreciate it immensely. So thank you for that. And I know we will benefit as a commission having her at the table in the discussions with DEP along with our staff. So thank you, Commissioner Edgar. In that regard, we have a draft letter that staff has prepared. Mr. Petrella, if you could come up here, I'd appreciate it, on comments on the federal plan and model rules for the Clean Power Plan. And it was disseminated to us late yesterday, so I apologize for the late delivery on this. And I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Edgar to have her address it, provide some input on our comments to the proposed plan. And again, apologize for the late delivery to those of you, but I know Commissioner Edgar's very interested in this, too.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, thank you for the honor and the opportunity to work more closely on these issues. And I think many of you know, but before I was appointed as a commissioner, I did work as a deputy secretary at the Florida Department of Environmental Protection for almost 5 years. And I often say that it is my second favorite state agency. So the opportunity to engage with the dedicated professional staff over at DEP and with our staff on these issues that are near and dear to me is very exciting. So thank you for the additional opportunity and your trust. Commissioners, I'm sure you know, but today is, I believe, Mark, the deadline for the request for comments that EPA issued on their draft federal plan. Not sure where all of that will go, but the deadline is today. I did meet with staff prior to the holidays for one of my just routine briefings that I've asked them to do with me on these issues and other EPA-related issues, and had asked them to take a close look at what EPA had issued and consider whether it would be appropriate for us to make comments. I've also talked with DEP staff, and my understanding is that they will be issuing some technical comments later today as well. The comments that staff has drafted that are before you are very much in keeping, if not exactly, to comments that we have made in the past to the draft rule, and then as that process was moving forward, certainly would want Mark to correct me or if you see anything, but there really is, honestly, really nothing new different. But this is a separate technical procedure and process for EPA, and so for us to provide comments and participate in this process as it moves forward, I believe is appropriate. The comments that are before you are very high-level general policy issues that we have stated as policies for the state and on behalf of the commission many, many times, primarily flexibility for states to implement federal requirements, states and regions, concern about potential reliability impacts, and concern about potential affordability impacts as it moves forward. I have asked, as I've looked at this a little more closely, there is one sentence that I would suggest we add to the first paragraph, which is a sentence that we have used in comments to federal agencies many times in the past. Again, nothing new, but it basically, it would say, Section 366.015 Florida statutes encourages the Florida Public Service Commission to participate in federal proceedings that impact the utilities we regulate. Again, a sentence that we use many times is directly from the statutes. And just as we were kind of going back and forth on this, it was not included, but I would suggest that that be included in the first paragraph. Mark, my suggestion would be after the second sentence. But if commissioners, you are agreeable, I think that's an appropriate addition. And then also just one very minor technical catch to the draft that you have before you in the next to last paragraph. We refer to EPA's guidelines. Again, that's language that we have used before. Really, the more appropriate for this particular request for comment would be to refer to it as the federal draft plan. So, commissioners, I think it's important that we continue to reiterate, as EPA has different stages and processes, what the concerns are on behalf of Florida, and that we continue to work with DEP and other state entities as it moves forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Edgar. Commissioners, before I turn it over to staff and Mr. Bias. Sure. Commissioner Petronas.
So this is the first time I've ever read a letter of this nature where it's actually coming from us. It's written on about an eighth grade level. That's good for people like me, because I read it for the first time just now, and I understood every single word in it and every point you're trying to make. And I appreciate it being that clear. Just my 2 cents.
Commissioner Petronas is very humble, okay?
I'm just very low level.
Commissioner Brzezinski.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Commissioner or Chairman Brown and Commissioner Edgar for taking on this task. And I think this goes in line with what our discussions at CERA, with the fact that Commissioner Edgar is our point on this very topic. So not only for Florida, but coordinating our efforts in the Southeast region so that where we have areas of shared interest, we can express that. And, you know, where there are some differences, everyone can do what they need to do with respect to that. So thank you for your work on this and staff.
And thank you, Commissioner Brzezinski, for highlighting that. And I think it's important for us. I mean, we've got the right person in that capacity, so we're going to benefit tremendously, not just for our state, but for the whole region. So, Commissioner Graham.
Are we going to add another category here for CPP updates?
You know, I think that's a very smart idea. It's something that I discussed with Lisa Harvey, and I think that's great. I appreciate the comment, and we'll have it if Commissioner Edgar has those updates. We'll
certainly. I would be pleased for staff to do that if it's agreeable with the chairman and with the executive director. And of course, some meetings it may be nothing new, but there are a lot of moving parts and moving pieces. And I know you're all interested, and I am. So thank you.
We'll make sure that there's a standing item. That's your pleasure.
Unless there's not.
Maybe. I think there will.
We will check every week prior to make sure if we have to have a standing item.
Thank you. Commissioner Graham?
I know we get those updates all the time from EPA, specifically Ken Mitchell out of Atlanta all the time. And you know, you're always sifting through it to see what has changed or is it the same information all the time. So it would be helpful, I mean, just like the legislative update, that, mm-hmm. you know, you can bring us up to date each time, say, well, you got this letter, this letter, this letter, let me tell you what, you know, what they're trying to do and which direction they're going.
Thank you. Good input. Commissioners, any other questions before we turn it over to staff? Or, Mr. Bias, do you have anything to add to this?
Nothing to add. I mean, I agree with the good points that Commissioner Egger made, and this is just one more opportunity, as I see it anyway, to remind them. And if they are looking to listen to what Florida has to say, then Florida should say it as often as possible.
Absolutely. I have a few grammatical, minor grammatical adjustments, but with that, I would entertain a motion to approve with the comments and suggestions made by Commissioner Egger.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for your timely work on this. Appreciate it. Commissioner Egger, again, thank you. Another matter, I'd like to highlight to everybody here that I want to congratulate Commissioner Brzee. He was just reappointed to the USAC board, which is huge. And
Who reappointed him?
Who? Do you want to speak on that?
Oh.
Actually, I was thinking joint board, but there you go.
Yeah, so the joint board, Commissioner Egger appointed me to that. And
reappointed me.
For this one, I think it's
Travis.
Okay. President Kavula. And so the formal appointment came by Chairman Wheeler of the FCC. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
We are so delighted, and we're lucky to have you a part of our team. We've got such a great group here, and we're fortunate to have his expertise in that area, too. So congratulations.
Thank you. And on that note, can I say something
about that?
So this week, was it this week or last week? I drafted a letter in support of the Lifeline modernization effort, which to a certain degree reflects ensuring that the Lifeline program is sustainable, even with whatever changes they want to make with the modernization moving towards broadband, but ensuring that the process ensures that we deal with the waste, fraud, and abuse concerns, and that those who need the service receive the service and receive a service that they can actually use today. And so we penned a letter to support that, and we are working on through the joint board and other entities to ensure that program is sustainable and does what it's supposed to do.
Thank you. Thank you for the update. Commissioner Egger.
Thank you, Commissioner Brzee, for your work on that issue. As you know, some of this commission has been very involved in for many, many years, and appropriately so. So I would just say, as a donor state, I know we have a strong interest in those dollars going to where they are intended to go to do good things. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Commissioners, I have another matter that I'm pretty excited about, and I'd like to share with you guys. As you all know, we've instituted an Employee of the Month program, and thank you for those of you who have support. It's gotten a lot of positive feedback, a lot of reception, and so much participation on the outset in this month of January. And I'm thrilled to announce somebody who has gone above and beyond. We all know we're very fortunate to have Allison Orange, who actually started her career with Public Service Commission. Allison, could you come up here for a second with your husband, Chip, too? Thank you so much. If you guys could sit, that would be great. I'd like to share some really great things about Allison. And again, the positive reception that she's gotten among the employees. This is a program that's going to rotate from divisions, and it's going to continue. And it's a great program because, for me, quite frankly, I get to know the employees a little bit and get some of their ideas. And some of these employees have great ideas. And as I said, Allison started her career with the PSC. It was her first job. She says it'll be her last job. And it's kind of amazing. She started here in 1982 as a computer programmer. Her colleagues and the agency have picked her specifically unanimously because of her exceptional information technology support to the agency. Allison touches almost every single one of us. And, you know, she has that advantage because she gets to see all of us. The other thing about Allison is she believes that the administrative staff is the Public Service Commission's key weapon. And she knows and she really encourages that and stresses that to folks. And I think that's very important for us. She met her husband. Chip and her have been together since 1980. They've been married for a very long time. Congratulations, both of you. And that you guys met in Florida State in a computer science class. And I know Allison told me that he was so smart, she was just blown away by him. And they're lucky that they have this great matrimony and they get to work together and enjoy the career paths together. And a few other things about her. They married in 1981. They have a spoiled cat named Sen Sen. You like, you read a lot, you bake a lot, and you enjoy your colleagues. And we're blessed to have you at the Public Service Commission. And with that, I'd like to present to you the award for the Employee of the Month. And we're going to continue this program, but to highlight your wonderful contributions of service here. Thank you so much. Commissioners, we're not going to put her on the spot. She claims to be an introvert, so I won't do that to her. You're welcome. But commissioners, any comments or Commissioner Brzee?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for your service to the state and to us here at the commission. It's awesome when your colleagues choose you as someone who is dependable, reliable, likable, and greatly appreciated. So thank you. And I also want to commend Commissioner or Chairman Brown for instituting this program. Once again, I think it's important for us to recognize each other when we do well. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Commissioner Brzee. Other commissioners? And it's a good program because we all get to know, and I encourage you all to, once we get the Employee of the Month, to meet with them and take an opportunity to pick their brain for some ideas. And please go with that. And with that, if we have no other matters, the meeting is adjourned.